All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. We started a conversation last week based around the idea of charging for your closed or private Facebook group. We discussed a lot of pros and cons to that concept. This week, what we want to do is we want to talk about what it might look like and how you might integrate that with everything else that you are doing. So we kind of left the conversation last week with, like, Facebook groups are really awesome, but the idea that that is going to be something you're going to charge for just in and of itself is probably not going to work. It's probably going to be like a value added thing, and we use some examples for that. So that's what we're getting into today. We have Joe Freeman. I believe that Carrie JK is going to be joining us in a little bit as well, but we wanted to get started because we try to be as time conscious as we can. We do this in our, speaking of Facebook groups, we do it in our own Facebook group that is for musicians who want to understand a little bit more about the marketplace and what their options are. So we do have a that's where we go live here. So if you were interested in that, you can, the best thing to do at this point, I don't have a direct link yet for this. We want to do it in the right way. That's why we don't have that. The best thing to do is to just shoot me an email at lou@loulombardimusic.com. If you're a musician, you're interested in getting involved in this. It's right now, it's totally free, much to Joe Freeman's dismay. So you can, this is your golden opportunity. A lot of great stuff gets discussed every week. So just shoot me an email, lou@loulombardimusic.com, and we will get you into the group. We're trying to do this in a marketing savvy kind of way where we do capture people's emails for this because we want to be able to follow up with you guys. We're telling everybody here to do that all the time. So it's not very, it's kind of like do what I say, not what I do if we just start handing out a free link to it. So we want to at least get everybody on a list. Lou@loulombardimusic.com to get yourself in on the calls here. We do get some folks chiming in also throughout the week. Usually throughout the week, there's different content that's being put out for you guys. The different members will show stuff that they're working on. We comment on it. We help each other out. And then we do these calls once a week. So there's some cool stuff there. And we are looking to build that up here in the coming year. All right. So let's go ahead and start getting into this today. We have, what do you do? What do these packages look like for the Facebook group as part of your VIP type? What we're talking about here is, a sort of membership situation, right, Joe? Where people, maybe they pay a monthly fee or yearly fee. Some bands do yearly. What does that look like? What should you be doing? What works? What doesn't? I think Carrie is joining us as well. Carrie, we are already in progress. So we've got Carrie, JK, and Joe Freeman now with us. So I was just to reiterate real quickly, we are picking up the conversation from last week about what does a reoccurring membership program or VIP type program look like with a Facebook group as part of it. So I think that I know Carrie, you probably have some ideas, Joe. So I'm gonna kind of, I'm more comfortable letting you guys talk, and then I'll interject as we go. So whoever wants to jump in.
So I'd like to come through it from a point view of like the type of clients I usually work with, and then allow Carrie and Lou to input where musicians could use this. Maybe
sounds like a plan.
That way, it's the most value to the listeners, and that's. I'm starting that off with that tone because when you're using a Facebook group for your audience, it's all about the value. So it's not like, can I start a Facebook group and make money? It's if I start a Facebook group and I'm running that Facebook group for my audience, for my listeners, what value am I giving? So a Facebook group can become either part of a stack. So you have something else you're offering, whether that be a course, or whatever it is. And then the Facebook group is going to add additional value. So the Facebook group is where people with a like mind can hang out, talk, support each other, give each other, Like, you can celebrate your wins, or if you're having a hard time, you can go in and ask questions and the community will help you, as well as the expert, right? So like, if I start the group, you may not always get the answer directly from me as the person who starts the group as the expert. It's also about the community. And another thing I wanted to say about that is that, so if I start the group and it's about the community, then that's one way. But the other way is to include stuff in there like question and answer, group mastermind, that kind of stuff, and schedule it, or to allow people to promote once a week on a specific post. So there's value to that. So it's part of your offer stack. If I'm a coach, speaker, author, a course creator, I create a membership site or a course over here. And then from that course, there's different problems people are going to run into when they use my content to solve a problem. So they have some kind of pain, some kind of problem or desire that they want solved. And I'm trying to solve it by giving them a product to teach them. And then that when, as they're going through that, then I say, okay, you're going to run into these problems, and you know, one solution to one problem creates another problem. And in order to solve that problem, here's a couple bonuses, here's a couple more courses, a couple more videos, and then here's the group as well, so that you can hang out there and, you know, get your questions answered. And it raises the value. So like, if I'm charging in my offer stack, if I'm charging $1,000 for something, I usually try to, especially if it's course or digital, I try to make sure that total value is like $10,000. So I just take each one of them. I take the course, I give it a value. I take the bonus one, which helps solve a problem that the course creates, I give it a value. I take bonus two, give it a value. I take the group, give it a value. And I try to add that up so that it's 10 times the amount of what I'm charging. And it gives people a place to hang out. Now that's how I would do it if I was a coach, author, or speaker. And that's one way to use a group, is to get people in there, to get them to communicate, build a community, Q&A, group mastermind, all your lives go in there. Everything for the group that's communication based would go in there. I've seen it done that way, and I've seen it done another way. So people who are just starting out and don't have the money to create a membership site because of the changes Facebook has made, with allowing lessons and charging for groups and this and that, which I didn't even know until last week, but as far as the charging. But I've seen people actually build a whole business in the group and find out if people are interested in the content that they're publishing by putting the membership site in the group and then allowing that group to not only have the Q&A and the communication and the banter back and forth between people in the group, but also have some of the lessons and find out, like, in those lessons, what are people gravitating towards the most? What are people getting the most value from? How many more comments? What's the reach? Blah, 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 blah. So Facebook groups can be used two different ways, but it's always based on communication with your audience and providing value. So if you're going to start a group and you want to charge for it, the first question you're asking yourself is, what value am I providing? What pain, pleasure, desire am I going to alleviate for my audience in that group? So how that ties musicians.
I immediately because, you know, we are all tuned into the same station, WIIFM, what's in it for me. I was thinking about my own group as you were talking, Joe. And my niche is the rock and roll, hard rock, and dipping the toe into heavy metal. That's my niche. So, you know, what we've been doing is it's just mainly a place at this point where people can, I will post stuff about bands maybe people haven't heard of, or let people know about what I'm doing with my music, or do videos where I, you know, showcase different things that I'm doing musically as well. And people will talk, and I'll post a question and get people to have conversation. And it's a place where if you're part of that niche, you can go and you don't have to hear about politics or religion or social justice issues or anything like that. You can just be immersed in that world. But as you were speaking, I was thinking about some of the things you said, like Q&A, allowing people to promote on a specific post were two of the things, and mastermind as well. So a couple of things I was thinking about how I might, I'm just going to use myself as an example, and maybe this will give people some ideas. You know, right now it's very, my group is very like shoot from the hip, willy nilly, whatever I feel like doing, whenever I feel like doing it. And I've been thinking, as you were speaking, I'm thinking I should change that. I should create some systems within the group where people can go to specific posts to get specific information. So what I could do, for instance, is, you know, every, you know, create a post for, you know, new music in our niche, you know, by bands they haven't heard of, you know, so and I'll allow people to post, create that post and maybe boost it. Occasionally, I don't mean boost it like as a paid thing, but you can move it back to the top by commenting on it, editing it or whatever, and allowing people to, you know, this is a place where people can go every day if they're looking for something to listen to, something that's not their old, you know, Scorpions albums or AC/DC albums or whatever. They want to hear something fresh in that niche, you know. So that's just, I'm just brainstorming here. That came to me as you were saying them, like, you know, why not create something really specific? Because one of the things that when I've talked to a lot of publicists in this business is that, like, there's very few like trusted people that people go to find out what's cool to listen to. So that could be something I could work into my Facebook group, where it's like, hey, you want to know what's cool to listen to? We do this every single day. We're constantly publishing cool stuff for you to check out. And since it is my group, and as I put out new stuff, I will put that in there as well. Links to my podcast and stuff, because that's something that we're really big on my podcast. So instead of making it so willy nilly, have a few organized things. Also, you can put files and stuff into your groups as well. There's places to put to keep things, right. And you can direct people to those things. So you could even create a file that, you know, you in every day say file, you know, new rock updated. Yeah. And here's the link, and people could click on it and, you know, constantly go. So it's a way to provide value that they're not getting someplace else. I mean, I guess they could technically just get on YouTube and subscribe to every channel, music channel, and to find out what's going on. But mm-hmm. Why? That's what I'm doing for you. So that is something I could do. And we already do the Q&A thing, but again, I'm doing it very willy-nilly. So I'm thinking that maybe I ought to either do a daily or, you know, Wednesday Q&A where I post something about, something about our niche, ask a question, and really make an effort to really interact with each person who responds. So those are two things. And the other thing I can do, and I have not done this, is to actually create maybe a month, weekly. It becomes unscalable if it gets too big. So you could start with I could start with weekly, maybe end up going to monthly if it got really big, but do a fan call on Zoom, like we do here, and let people come on. And, you know, so it would be scheduled. It would be a scheduled event every Friday at 3 o'clock or whatever. And, you know, they would have the Zoom number, and they could get on, and we could have a roundtable discussion about, you know, we could pick a loose topic. You know, what happened, you know, what did you think of this album that came out, or, you know, Ozzy Osbourne fell off the stage and broke his leg, you know, or, you know, whatever, type thing. So those are like three things that came to my mind as we were talking, just taking on the things that you said. You were talking about things that are very, really aimed at like coaches and authors and stuff like that. But I was trying to, how do I translate those things?
That's a nice spin. So where we'll do the, you know, promotional, Fridays or whatever, where we'll open up a post and we'll say, okay, today's the day that under only this post, you're allowed to share your link to whatever you're posting. For some of the people we coach, you would then say, okay, you know, today's I don't know. So it's just a day, a post where you can allow bands to go in and show their new song or give a link to their music, or, you know, maybe they just released a CD, or you can also do one another day for events. Maybe people have events going
Great idea.
On coming up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that allows not only everybody in your community to share their music or share their events, but it also allows you as the moderator to share your music or your events.
Well, there's many different ways of doing it. It could be share your, like, if you are in a band, or if you are, so we could even do different days. One day might be just, hey, for all you guys in the group that do play music, like, share it right now, right here. This is where you're going to share it. It could also be those of you who are really big fans, share your favorite local band. You know what I mean? So if there's some band, maybe they don't really have any kind of internet presence or international presence or national presence, but let us know who they are here. What's so cool about them? You know, what concerts are you going to this month? You know, and share them here and why you think they're awesome. So, you know, there's a lot of different things we could do, but what I've been doing, I think is wrong, is just being so willy nilly about it and not really just having like set things, because not that people are sheep, but we all work a little better if there's a little bit of structure. You know what I mean? Instead of just, you know, just throwing people into a group and saying, okay, talk amongst yourselves, see ya. This is like a lot nicer way to kind of like give people. And if people want to go back to something, what were those concerts that were coming out this month? Oh, you know, I mean, they can go to that link or that document
that
and see that.
Value.
Yeah, it provides actual value, not just, you know, just a sort of like fly by the seat of your pants. Carrie, you're nodding.
Right, yeah. I have a case study.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, I wanted to let you sort of like finish all that before I sort of jumped in with it. And I'm going to do a screen share here. Obviously, people who are listening won't see it, but we'll describe it. But I'm going to share with you a band who are absolutely kick-ass at this and who have been pioneers at what a lot of bands are trying to do now. And we're gonna have a look at what they're doing and what they have done. Now, that band is they're a band come sort of theatrical group out of San Diego, California, called Steam Powered Giraffe. If you know them, but here is their main page. As you can see, they're a band with an image, and they've got a whole backstory going on. Basically, they are this whole steampunk thing about their robots that were built with their creator. And then when they do their shows live, they act as these robots and those people. It's sort of like in the vein of, if you think of how the Blue Man Group has three blue characters and then a band behind them. And then there's sort of like things that go in behind that. Well, Steam Powered Giraffe have similar sort of things that go into how they develop their characters and how they do it around it. Only, unlike Blue Man Group, who are basically a theatre company and the actual Blue Men are interchangeable, this actual group, the people behind the makeup, are quite open about it. And they're open about playing the characters, and their fans are very much invited into the whole process. But they've been doing this now for quite some time. I think probably at least 10 years. I'd have to check the actual dates. When they originally started out, it was all online. It was all about the media they'd produced, and they created this world through videos and through mailing lists. And they built up this whole backstory of this factory, where they'd come from and what was around there. And that meant from the word go, they were putting out media and they're involving the fans in the whole journey. And I'm not going to go into everything that they've gone through over the years, because there's been a lot, both in character and out of character. But one of the things that they did was they had, I can't even remember what it was, the Inner Circle group they had that you could pay to join. But that brought all sorts of contacts in there. But I've now found that isn't there anymore, because it's gone entirely to Patreon. I say entirely, I'm going to show you, they're also using something else. And I'm going to show you their Patreon group. So this is their Patreon page. Now, most people, we haven't mentioned Patreon yet today, for whatever reason. But quite a lot of, certainly a lot of artists are using it, even if it's just as a gateway to other things. Now, if we go through to their perks, obviously the dollar a month one, always have a dollar a month. even if it's basically you, it entitles you to send them a dollar a month and not much else. But obviously the one that most people are going to get is going to be the layer up from that, which is when it gets to exclusive videos that they're working with. This is what their old Inner Circle was like. There'll be separate podcasts that they do. But also, as we go down here, what do we find at the bottom? Access to our Patreon community Discord channel. Now, Discord community channel, that's where, basically, I think, as far, I don't know Discord that well, but I think it's pretty much like we're using Zoom. I have got another tab up showing me Discord. I think it's pretty much brings together community and forum things, and you can have it set up so it's just for your little group there. So everything we're describing in Facebook and around there would come into there. So that would mean it'd be access to the people. This is another thing here as well. Because they're a group that have been successful and have a certain amount of celebrity now, actually having access to them and having them respond is something that people are willing to pay for. But they've built up to that point for over time. And even when you just follow them on Twitter and social media, you'll still get something in their life that way. It's just not so two-way at that point. I think Leah does something similar as well. She's quite open about things when you talk to her, which she gives away for free. But if you want her to answer you back, then that's when you have to sort of get into her programs. But which is fair enough because she's very popular. She couldn't do it for free. So that's what they've been doing. And they've been building this up over a long time. And they did have it all on site up until earlier this year, the last time I checked. Although I now see that it's they've farmed it all off to Patreon now. Although even that then links to the Discord channel. In case you're wondering, there are other tiers. They start personalising it even further. They'll give you personal postcards. They do like public workouts, like rehearsals that they'll film each month. And if you're on a certain tier, you can look in on that. I compared that sort of thing to boxers doing public workouts. You don't want them to see everything you do. Apart from anything else, it's boring and embarrassing. But there's no reason why you can't have one session a month or so often that you do invite people in on. Just so, as far as they know, they're looking behind the curtain, even if the actual nuts and bolts of what you do doesn't happen then. Going through a bit further, that's when, after that, from $20 in, that's when you start getting the credit. Some people give away the credit with the earliest tiers because it's a simple thing to have. Certainly a lot of podcasts do. And then at that level, they've started doing their particular merch and access to their entire backlog from that level. And it goes on further.
Film series. Wow. They do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And like I say, these are a group who absolutely know what they're doing. They are professional as fuck. And they've built up to all of this over the years, and they've built up the relationship to their fans that everyone will get involved in this. But if you want to see a band that is doing what we're describing in a kick-ass way, they're a good model to look at. However, yeah. I think one of the takeaways here, and what I want to throw back to you now, is Patreon. Because we haven't mentioned Patreon yet.
Well, we have not mentioned Patreon, and I think we could probably do a whole series of podcasts just on Patreon. And so it's an interesting question.
Let's narrow it down. Patreon as a gateway to your Facebook group, just like they're using Patreon as a gateway to their Discord.
Why not use, what about Facebook group as a gateway to your Patreon? So this is another thing that Joe, you sort of touched on when you were giving your your thoughts at the beginning. And what about leveraging the group? So this is kind of where I started with it. So my group is free. It is not part of any kind of VIP package or anything in an official, in the sense that like people have to, you know, sign up for something. They can go right to the group. So what I'm trying to do is filter people into the group for free as a way to bring them a little closer to me. You know, a little bit closer. So as we go through 2020, I'm going to be doing this sort of like more organized sort of way of doing it. I'm terribly unorganized, so this will be a real challenge for me. And as we add things, as we do things, could we create, say I do this thing with events or I do this thing with releases or whatever, could we use that somehow? Could you, instead of, how am I trying to say this? Use those things to bring people into the email or bring them into the Patreon.
Well, that's what you're saying. Doing.
Because the Facebook, people are used to Facebook being free. And you could even, I mean, if you were really, and I know a couple people that do this, Leah does this, has two Facebook groups. She's got a general Facebook group where people can go and she does exactly this, but then she does have an exclusive Facebook group for people that are paying members of her programs where she gets in there and they do kind of like what Joe was talking about in terms of like a, what a coach might, well, because she is a coach, would do in terms of answering questions. If she sees a lot of questions about the same thing in her course, she knows to either post some kind of video that explains that or redo that video for course or whatever. But let's take it a step back and just talk about the Facebook group as a way to move people into Patreon possibly. To kind of like get, you know, to say, okay, you know, we do these five things each week, but if you want to, I don't know what, would have to figure out what would be, you know, if you want to get, then there's Patreon to go a little bit deeper. And then once you get into Patreon, you can go deeper. And then for Patreon, you can go to Discord. I don't know where you go from Discord. You invite them over to your house. I don't know. you know, Carrie and I actually talked about that about a year ago. I don't know exactly what that looks like.
So, one thing I do have to say is Steam Power Giraffe has three groups. And of those groups, each one has questions in the beginning. So they're learning about their audience and they're very focused on Steam Power powered is an actual like following. I don't know a lot about it, but there's a lot of people who follow robots and steampunk and like that's a huge following of people.
That is their scene, and that's where the most famous.
It's, so, in other words, this is their. This is like
so
Leah has
this
a, like
Leah's
Leah.
Fantasy.
Excuse me, just
yeah.
Click, yeah, just like Leah's fantasy stuff with the Game of Thrones stuff. Their thing is steampunk.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So their first questions are, "What's your favorite robot?" You know, one of their groups is like the Steam Power Dress Fanbot Army. Which is great. If you can create a manifesto and give your audience a name and have them identify with that name, and they can say, like, if you're a marketer, a lot of people know what a funnel hacker is because Russell Brunson, like, wants everybody who creates funnels and marketing campaigns online to identify with being a funnel hacker. Here, they're having you identify with being part of the Steam Power Giraffe Fanbot Army. And like, you know, when you're part of an army, you're like, you're intense. Yeah, you're like all about it.
It's like the KISS army.
Like
yeah.
If you're in a fantasy, you're all about being part of that community. So they're really leveraging the community. They're leveraging that following, the people who are already into that. You know what I mean? And then if you go from, like, I didn't get into their groups and analyze like where they're taking people from the group from there because I just heard about them. But, if you go to their site does leverage both merch because of the fact that they have people who identify with being part of the Steambot Army, but it also identifies with them being able to give donations, or they don't actually call it donations, do they? Yeah, they do. On the site as well as on Patreon. So I guess I have to put this question out to you guys then, because I have a hard time identifying with people donating or going and purchasing without, like, I feel like those, I guess we need to do a call just on Patreon, right? Because
yeah, probably multiple
like
calls.
those packages, like to get someone to donate, the value, like I keep on saying this, like the value and identification with being part of not part of a following, but part of a mission, part of a movement, part of a movement. You know, I want to feel like people want to feel like they're fighting for something. They're identifying with something like, yeah, this is who I am. I want to support these people.
Well, Joe,
like, if you can create that with a band, then.
Well, we have actually touched on this
many times.
I don't know if you, I can't remember if you were in on this, but we have talked about, and this is, and the industry model that this goes back to is from stage performance and busking. Joe, what city do you live in?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. So you're in Pittsburgh too. So I don't know if Pittsburgh really has this, if there's real tourist footfall there. But certainly in places like New York, Vegas, or places where people go as tourists, especially, or places where people will go around and just see the city. Maybe they do that in Pittsburgh, I don't know. But there will be certain places where they go and there are street performers, professional street performers who earn their living. I'm not talking about a homeless guy with a sad dog and a harmonica. I'm talking about people who have worked out their acts, know what they're doing, and we'll have a hat down and we'll have people paying money from passers-by. Especially, I mean, there's two, I don't know if you know this about buskers, but there's, it boils down to two sorts. There's the passive side, which is where you just sit there with a guitar and you play and you hope people will pay into a hat. And then there's what's called circle shows. And circle shows are what jugglers do, or acrobats, fire eaters, people who have something that they will do that's spectacular, and that's going to happen, that's going to build to one trick. Generally just one trick. They might have something extra that builds up to it, but generally they will build their act around one thing. And it might be something as simple as, I say as simple as juggling knives or throwing a Diablo up and down or walking on a ladder. But the whole show will take 20 minutes and it will build up to that point. And what they will do is they will go through a cycle of, first of all, drawing all people. This is why it's a circle, because you put a rope on the ground and it's all about drawing passers-by up to that rope. And the more people you get up to that rope, the easier it will be to draw even more people, because the people will look across the street and see what's going on there. I want to be a part of it. I want to know what's happening. And that's when they'll see some guy who's working the crowd for 20 minutes, building it up. They might do little things to keep them interested. They might be promising what it is they're about to deliver, what the trick's going to be. And then just as it looks like they're going to do it, they'll get to say something else. Now, it's a fine thing to do, because if you keep on not delivering, then people are just going to walk off. You have to keep them entertained. But gradually, as it keeps building up, and when the crowd is just right, and ideally this will take in within, actually it has to be done within 20 minutes for a lot of places, because the best cities will now license out the pitches. But when the moment comes, they'll go through the trick, and then the very last thing they'll do before they finally do the trick is mention money. And these are called hat lines. And hat lines, when you say there, a lot of them are stock, but the trick is to not make them feel like stock. And what you do at that point, you've got that crowd on your side and you say, thank you all for giving me your attention. I'm going to do this now. And when this is done, I'm going to give you your chance to show me your appreciation. They'll probably then say at this point, I just want you to know that this is what I do for a living. I go all around the world for all these cities and I interact with crowds, and you've all been a great crowd, this, that, and the other. I think this show is worth such and such money. However, if you do not feel able to, if you're not able to give me money, it doesn't matter. It's still great that you've given me your time. Come up and shake my hand. Come up and say you've enjoyed the show. That will mean just as much. And then finally, having kept him on side, he does the trick. That's over. And then he gets the hat out. And if you've done it right, everyone who's there with their kids, the kids will want to give them money because they've had a good time. Other people will maybe want to do it. But the whole point is, at that point, and when I bust, I had a mentor who told me that when you give people the chance to give you money in that situation, you're actually doing them a favor because you're letting them off the hook. And what they are then doing is they are investing in a world that's a little bit more interesting than the one they walked out into that morning. They've had a good time. They've had something interesting's happened. And by making it a financial transaction at the end, they actually feel better about it because there's no debt. The world feels a little bit better. They can walk off not feeling like a freeloader. They feel like that guy gave me something, I gave him something in return. The world's balanced. And even if you go in there, and that's why that only works if you let them pay and don't make them pay. If you say, if you're here and you watch me and you don't pay, then you're a dirty freeloader, won't work. That's negativity. Negativity breaks it. If you set it up and then invite people in and do it right, they will flood to put money in that hat. And when you watch professional, I mean, do you have people who do this in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
There are, yeah, we have buskers. I don't live in the city, and I don't, Joe mm-hmm. doesn't either, so we don't see that. We're not just walking around the streets, but there are definitely people that do it. Yeah. Joe, what I just sent you was the TED Talk by Amanda Palmer.
And Amanda came up through that whole process.
That she will. Her style is all about that position. She's a great book, but you can get all of the basic idea of the book is all in that TED Talk. She does a great job of summarizing that the whole book in about 17 minutes. And this will give you a much better idea of why people would probably give at Patreon and things like that. And it is a nuanced thing. We have actually done, Joe was not on at the time, Carrie, when we did the shows. Mm-hmm. We did a couple of different podcasts around this topic. This idea of letting people pay instead of charging them. Mm-hmm. I think we could revisit that. We could study a little bit more about Patreon and maybe do an entire show, excuse me, on Patreon. It is how you frame, though, what you do. And there isn't a right or a wrong way of doing it. However, this appears to be more and more becoming more and more popular, and more people are doing it this way. There is another great book called Free that I read a couple of years ago, Joe, and I'll send you a link to that. It's on Audible as well, where it's a great discussion on how we leverage free, how we turn free into money. It seems counterintuitive, but this is the part of the new economics that we're encountering when you have all these platforms like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and everything, where people are used to getting so much content for free. Excuse me. So then the bears the question is like, how do you move people to that next level? Mm-hmm. And there, you know, if you can create an army of people, who want to willingly give and let them become part of it, you know, frame it as by giving, by joining my Patreon or whatever, you are now part, you're bringing, you know what I mean? You're like really part of something really important, but your music, everything you do has to have this feeling, even if it literally isn't, has to have this feeling that you're reaching for something higher, something bigger, something inclusive, something we're all a part of, something really, really important. That is really hard to, in my mind, I've had a hard time building that. I don't feel like I've accomplished that, maybe because I'm not focused on it enough. So the question comes back to Facebook and these Facebook groups. And what would we do in a group to create this army, which I really hate that, because it's kind of a cliche. When you see that, I think of the Kiss Army and stuff like that, but it's actually a great example. But look at what another version offline example that is the Grateful Dead, right, Carrie? You know, I mean, they didn't call it an army because they were all, you know, hippies. But it's the same kind of idea of this, you know, people feeling like they're part of something. When you go to a Dead show, everybody says the same thing. People that don't like the Grateful Dead, everybody's like, no, you have to go to a show. And when you go, you have this experience of being in this community of people, and it's peace and love, and people are passing around different things that make you feel happy. And it's like a big, you know, thing. Whereas, that's the one thing we can do. Possibly, I don't know exactly what that looks like, you know, using a Facebook group. The other thing is making the Facebook group part on the, as a back end thing. So this, it just depends on how you do it. I kind of go with the Dan Kennedy aspect of marketing, which is more steps, not less, because when you do get them to the point where they're going to open their wallet, you want them to really like want to open that wallet. You know what I mean? You want them to be like really excited about doing, not like, well, if I want to get this thing, I guess I got to give the guy $5. But you want them to be like, oh man, I feel this is so awesome and so exciting because you've built this whole thing, you know, from them encountering you maybe through like a Facebook ad or Twitter or Instagram, and then moving you slowly over time, moving them into the group or, you know, and then finally into Patreon, and then even deepening that relationship with the different levels. So how do we do that? Because we're, the topic today is the Facebook group. How can we do that with the Facebook group? Is it just a matter of branding it? Do you brand it as an army or as a movement? And if you are a musician like me who's really struggling with what is my message, I'm making air quotes for those of you that aren't looking, like, how do you find that? Like, I feel a little kind of like, I know what I like. I think I know what my music's about, but I'm having a hard time tying it to like something big, some big idea.
Well, the fundamental question then has to be, how will my life be different as a result of joining this community?
I think my problem is, Kerry, I'm thinking the exact opposite. I'm thinking, how will my life as a musician be better if you join my community? Yeah. I think that's the problem. I think it's a mental thing.
You need to flip that over. I mean, to be honest, it won't be a conscious thought because people don't choose fandoms that way. It's like fandoms find you. And I suppose, like, of anything, like any marketing is like make people think it's their idea. Marketing that looks like marketing is bad marketing.
Absolutely. No, you're totally right. We've talked about that many times too.
So in that, I mean, like taking the Kiss Army, for example, I mean, like Kiss are one of the most notoriously corporate bands there are. And they're quite open about it as well. But it doesn't matter because you're still buying into this whole thing. In fact, all of Kiss's perceived flaws can be seen as strengths as well because they wear them.
Yeah, they own it. And they go through. Shit. Yeah.
Never really bought them out of makeup. I thought they were just another hair band then. But with the makeup, and that's something else that's seen Superpower drafted, by the way. They did the backstage. Like Kiss always have the backstage videos going where they'll conduct interviews in full makeup. And when they get to a venue, they'll even talk through, like, when they get there, they have to get there early on. And it takes however long to get into character. But then once they do, they'll just be in character for the day. And they'll even see them arriving at the venue in full.
Right.
Which is awkward when they've got massive platform boots. But again, that's part of it. Seeing them struggle to get up a flight of stairs in massive platform boots is part of being a kid, is part of following Kiss.
Right.
So it's going all in with this world, and then as a fan there as well, you're buying into this thing that you would never encounter that world anyplace else, and you can enjoy something else. I'll talk to you about. I'm a wrestling fan, and I've said before that pro wrestling is, if you're not in pro wrestling, you either get pro wrestling or you don't, and if you don't get pro wrestling, you never will, and it's it's this strange thing because, like, even back when it was all pretended that it was a genuine fight, we all knew it wasn't. That's not the point. The point was that it's a certain kind of suspension of disbelief. Any kind of theatrical suspension of disbelief is like, we know what this is, but it makes life much more interesting if we take it as this other thing and then just go along with it and go along for a ride. And it's the same with your fans in anything. We're sort of at a point now where you have to be honest on some level about what it is. There are people who are able to maintain something over that. But in the end, I think the internet, social media has now made it to the point where you can't keep that mystique indefinitely anymore. There has to be some level of letting people behind the curtain. But once you do that, they will say, in fact, I've had that as well, even with the trans stuff as well. There's people who only ever want to think of me as a girl when I was doing drag. Even then, they knew I wasn't. I thought, fine, let's go there. And if it came up there as well, they'd acknowledge it, but then they'd still go back the other way. But absolutely fine. That is, so you're setting up this world that people can invest in, and how real it is doesn't really matter because everyone actually knows. It's just that for sake of the experience, we are going along with this. And it's the same when you follow a band. You are buying into this universe. And to be honest... Absolutely, there isn't really much in this world that isn't that kind of fake anyway. Even following a political party or a sports team or whatever, you will buy into this thing where this sports team are the only sports team that deserves to win everything, and everyone else are pathetic losers who cheat all the time.
We don't know anything about that, do we, Joe, in Pittsburgh? Yeah. Huh?
You don't really believe that, but it's part of being a fan is that you'll go along with it. And when, all right, who are Like, I don't know what sports teams you get. Like, who are the Pittsburgh Steelers rivals?
The New England Patriots. And,
okay, yeah. so when the Steelers play the Patriots, then part of that will be going along, and we're going to war there, and yeah. they're I'm over there. You don't really think that, but it's part of the experience of going along with it.
So, one of the things I'm noticing with Leah and steampunk and everyone else is music is entertainment. So music is, it gives you a feeling. It takes you away from what you're doing. It could enhance your day. It could help you get more excited, help you get driven. Like, I listen to music in the morning just to pump myself up. Right. Mm. And if I'm depressed, like, it tends that you tend to listen to depressing music. So it's an enhancer. And it's entertainment. So, like, Leah has the fantasy, you know, steampunk has, you know, the steampunk steam power and draft, everything yeah. else. Yeah. yeah. So, and Kiss, like, they do the makeup and everything. Like, I like Skid Row and Poison and the other ones who don't do, like, they don't do makeup. They don't have any of this real extreme, like, theme stuff. And back in the 80s, like, you know, them and Metallica was the thing. Like, we just wore shirts to identify with that community. It seems like now you need to have a little bit more theatrical, a little bit more of a hook.
Even then, I mean, it's different things. Even in Metallica, there's still a uniform. And it's black jeans and a black T-shirt,
yeah.
basically.
It, punk rock is the same way, yeah. yeah. There's always that unit, yeah. Country
so
music.
Not everybody wants to make an effort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you want to you need to encourage people to participate in that and make it enticing, mm-hmm. but it has to be. And Carrie, I know Carrie, you haven't said this yet, but I know you're thinking it. Mm-hmm. It has to be genuine. You know what I mean? You can't, you shouldn't just, yeah. I mean, Leah's music naturally feels like that. And I think that she likes stuff like that. I mean, I kind of right. get the impression that, like, she digs Game of Thrones and Lord of Rings and things like that. So you have to do something that is authentic. Mm. It can't right. just be like, oh, this is popular, I'll do this. Star Wars is coming out this week. So yeah. So we're going to be, you know, we're going to call ourselves R2-D2 and you know, cause that's popular and that's what we're going to do. History is replete with completely forgotten acts that have done exactly that.
You know, they just ping-pong. You have no set identity.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, like, it has to kind of come from something genuine, and that's one of the things that I will say in Leah's training is she spends a lot of time, and I know a lot of people find it kind of annoying, but if I actually have all those lessons and I go back to them. Mm-hmm. Digging for that, like, what am I, who am I, what is it that, like, I can say, do, be, what is it that's in me that other people are going to enjoy? Because it's you tend to be your fan, if you know what I mean. Like, if you are thinking about it, really, you love the music you play or you wouldn't play it. I mean, right? Created, I shouldn't say play, because a lot of people are paid to play, whatever, but so you're making your own music, you love it, it's something you identify with. So what do you identify with? Because you're not an island, you're not like some, you know, person that, like, is so unique that nobody can relate to them. Obviously you're not. And, you know, I want to listen to the music that I make and the music that I like and the music I'm trying to make based on the music I like. I'm like, a lot of people like this stuff. This is not... you know, I'm not doing something that's so off the wall that, like, I'm only going to be my only fan. So just digging into that and then understanding it enough that, like, you can create all the other stuff. And Carrie and I have talked about this before that, like, I think when you really understand that, the message, the brand, all that starts to flow. And I will be honest with you. I mean, I'm you know, leading this podcast with you guys, but I'm still really struggling with. And yeah, you know, I think at that point, I think if you've got the funnel in place, Joe's the funnel king. I mean, you got to have that. But I think I think we'll be painting by numbers once you really understand who you are.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to create a funnel and automation when you know what your core offer is, but. More than that, when you know your message, when you know your identity, and you can present that to me, then it's a lot easier to automate. You don't want to think about creating funnels and automating until, like, you have your message, know who you are, have your identity, and your and know what your at least what your beginning offer is. Nothing's ever perfect. It's going to change. Right. It's going to change over time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a good that's a relief, Joe.
Yeah, yeah,
it's going to change every time.
It's going to change over time as you test it and put it out there. And
well, see, that's and that's the thing. Let's bring it back to Facebook groups, because I'm trying to stay on topic as much as we can. Is that Facebook the groups, because they're free and you don't have to pay for them? This is an opportunity to do exactly what we said, and that is test that message. What do people? I put this, like, I'm going to try these few things that I mentioned to you guys earlier, and what's the response? Okay, and it isn't going to cost me anything. It's going
to $0 way to test. Like, you know, I was going over. We have a shared friend in a mastermind, Lou, who that's exactly what she does. So, like, her whole program is nothing but Facebook groups, because she started off a Facebook group to get people in it, and she tested a concept to get people to, you know, that needed a specific solution. And she doesn't have to start a membership site. She doesn't have to get all these other softwares and all these other experts to help her create all this technology match. If she just starts it out in a Facebook group, starts a little community, and gets some people come in there who like what she's doing and can give her some feedback. Because without feedback, we're just in our own brains, and we all tend to do this. I do this all the time. I do it way too much, where we'll sit here and we'll mull over things in our own head. And, well, this isn't, you know, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Is this going to work? Is this going to be worth my time? And the reality is, you don't know till you do it.
Yeah.
And a Facebook group will give you the opportunity at very cheap to go live and talk to your fans, to create training videos and share those with people, to actually share files, to do Q&A. A Facebook group gives you a lot of opportunity to do the initial, like, proof of concept, proof of what you're trying to do.
Proof and see of if people concept, like yeah. It. A good way to put it, yeah.
And then from there, no, you don't want Facebook to be your everything, but you don't know if, like, you really want to invest a ton of money and time until you prove that concept somewhere that's cheaper. And then, you know, okay, now I need to blow this bigger. This is great. Now these people need this, and this from me in order to give them more value. Like, now I know they want what I have. So now I'm going to make it bigger because I want to give them more. So a Facebook group is, it's a lot of opportunity in the beginning without spending a lot of money.
Okay, I think that is a great way. I think that is probably the best thing we can say about the Facebook group. Is this is an awesome place to just try it out. See, run it up the flagpole, see if anybody salutes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, the two cliches there. One of them is, like, when you're throwing all this mud at the wall, pay attention to what sticks.
Right.
Sometimes that means reading between the lines.
Facebook.
Because, like, the people that you know, they won't slag you off, and they don't want to. But you will notice after a while, you'll notice little things. When certain things are getting more attention than others, when certain things are getting a certain kind of attention that you value the sincerity of a bit more than others. And so you generally end up reading trends. And then the other one after that is just another cliche, is dance with your date. Once you've established something that you're doing, then you know what it is that's brought people to the group there. You can have a little bit of flexibility and take them with you, but if you change direction too much, then be prepared to have to start all over again. Because once you've got people there, then you know what you're going to deliver. So you should be delivering something within that vein.
Okay, Carrie, that's your last word. Joe, you got a last word on it?
Last word on it would just be that the follow-up in a website or a funnel or whatever, there are certain metrics you can get, but a lot of times, like, setting up those metrics can be a little bit complicated. Where in a Facebook group, they'll give you the metrics. They'll let you know who's paying attention to what, and what you should promote more right there in the Facebook group. So I just want to double down on the fact that, and actually this has helped me, double down on the fact that Facebook group can be a good place to start out and find proof of concept. And if it's not working, if you're not identifying with, if people aren't identifying with what you're sharing and you're not identifying with the people that you're pulling in, then you can always start over. Like, it's not going to hurt. So it's a great place to get that proof of concept. It's a great place to get out of your own head and get into being able to sit, be in front of other people and share a common thought.
What's your website, Joe?
OrangeTreeMarketing.com.
Okay. And Kerry, give your website, buddy.
KJKmusics.co.uk.
All right, guys. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com is our website. Again, it was another great talk. We try to keep these things short, but we have so much to say about it. And this is a nuanced topic, guys. I mean, there is no, you know, man, it's like weight loss. Somebody's asking me, like, you know, well, I tried this and I couldn't, I tried that. Well, if there was one way to lose weight, everybody would be skinny. Okay, you just follow that process and you would be, and it's the same way with marketing. If there was just a A, B, C, D, E, F, G, make it, lay it out there and you become you get 1,000 fans and everybody's spending money with you, then there would be a lot more musicians doing it. There'd be no need for stuff like this. This is a nuanced thing. It's an art way more than it's a science. And you got to find it because this has to do with you and your soul and how you feel and what you relate to and being authentic at the same time, getting that authenticism, if that's a word, out to the people that are going, yeah, I'm kind of interested in what you're doing, and getting that dialogue back and forth of finding out what pushes their buttons and excites you at the same time. Don't start the group for money. Start it to create value. Ask the question, how will your fans' life be improved by interacting with you? And this is also, this is the number three biggie for today, I believe, was this is an awesome place to test. Just awesome way to just cheap, no money at all. You can try it out. You can find out what they like, what they don't. Find out if you are giving that value and find out how you are, if you are at all, improving their life. Thanks, guys, for hanging out. Thanks to Joe Freeman and Kerry JK. We'll catch you guys all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. Have a great week and Merry Christmas.